Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here! Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's Power Hour, LSU.
Oh my goodness gracious. I got to be honest. You guys come here for analysis of the LSU Tiger tackle football team. But dear Lord Almighty, I hate Ole Miss. I hate Ole Miss so freaking much. Dude, what are they doing talking all this smack? For what? What have you done? You have a coach who's won 10 games multiple times at your school, and that is your career highlight. Oh, okay. Many a moons ago, Eli Manning almost beat us to go to the SEC championship game. I'm so sick and tired of Ole Miss. Then they release a highlight tape. Oh, my goodness, this highlight tape is godforsakenly awful. All right? They put that big hit on Jaden Daniels twice in that highlight reel, not including the fact that he absolutely went ape you-know-what on you. The dude, literally one of the best quarterback performances of all time. Of all time that has ever happened. I'll just say, went ape shit on you. Destroyed you. You don't have enough highlights against LSU that you got to put him on there twice? The GOAT? Jaden Daniels? Okay, you had that one Patrick Willis hit on Justin Vincent many a moons ago. Congrats. You lost that game, by the way. And another clip they put on there. Jackson Dart's hurdle from that game. And it was impressive. I'll give Jackson Dart all the credit in the world of that hurdle. It was epic on Andre Sam. But you want to know why that hurdle happened? Because Sage Ryan, who is your starting safety, they put their own starting safety, even though he's wearing LSU colors, their own starting safety in this highlight reel. Ole Miss, I thought you were better. I thought you were better, but you're not. You've done nothing, nothing of relevance. You've won nothing of relevance. The year you were supposed to make the playoff, I banged the table for you guys to make the playoffs last year, even with three losses, because I thought you guys were so good. You beat every team by double digits. You lost all your one possession games. I wanted you guys in the playoff. I really did believe it. But guess what? The committee was like, hey, you guys choked. You guys choked away one of the best defensive lines we have ever seen in the SEC and a first-round quarterback. Lane, you choked. You choked. I don't get why all these Ole Miss burner accounts want to talk all this smack to me. I don't get it. You've done nothing. You've done nothing. But anyway, it's funny because I actually do like Lane Kiffin a lot. And tomorrow, the film study that will release at 8 a.m. is the best film study I've ever done leading into a game. Breaking down Lane Kiffin's offense. Oh, my goodness gracious. And tomorrow's film study will show the one play he took from Joe Brady. There's only one. And they ran it against Tulane. They're going to run it against us, and we better be ready for it. All right. Now, of course, the juiciest story, the guy that could defend all of it, is Whit Weeks dating Lane Kiffin's daughter. I just want to know how that started. Good for you. I've gotten to know quite a few players. I don't know Whit. My voice has been used on some LSU highlight reels for Whit, which is cool. I'm a big Whit fan. I just want to know who DM'd who first. Did it have anything to do with the game? Were they at a party somewhere? I don't know. I just find that to be so interesting because Witt's best game was last year, where he had 18 tackles, one forced fumble, 82 PFF grade, one sack. There were some TikTokers using some of my Whit Weeks stuff earlier today in their relationship breakdown. And shout out to you guys. Anyone could use my stuff. Just put my name in there. I find it to be so interesting because I do think you can make a strong case. I've said it plenty of times. Ole Miss should have beaten us last year, but they pulled an Ole Miss and they choked. 2 years ago, it was an all-time great quarterback duel. Could have gone either way. If Denver Harris could make a simple tackle, we win that game. Then 3 years ago, we bodied them, but they did drop a wide open touchdown. Jackson Dart did get hurt by Harold Perkins or whatever it was. It might have been Jaquelin Roy. And they choked away a big lead that they had early in that game. So, whatever the case may be, you Ole Miss fans, you don't know what's coming for you. Do we have an offensive line? No, but you don't have a defense. I don't care what you did against Jake Rezlaff of Tulane. I don't care. This LSU offense, I might just go full smack talking mode for the rest of this show. Now, before we start talking a little bit about a few matchups, LSU versus Ole Miss, I want to say thank you guys. Big Sunday night stream. As always, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Central. We have got a massive guest, about as big as you could get locally, on the show tomorrow here on PHL Live. He sent me a voice memo saying he would love to do it. If you are a fan of Baton Rouge Media, you're going to want to tune in tomorrow night. I do want to, and I don't want to say who it is because he gets really busy and it might fall off, but it's worth it. It's worth saying he said yes. Okay. Now, before we get into some breakdown stuff, it is important to note that this is the first time we have been live since it was announced who LSU's three permanent teams will be. And boy, we hit a home run. We hit an absolute home run. I want to talk about the trickiness of the Alabama game and understand that the Alabama game was important to both fan bases. It's so big. But the real history of the Alabama game is one person. It's Nick Saban. It's not a rivalry because they have kicked our ass too many times. Okay? Now, it's funny because as much as I like this game, it wasn't our problem that LSU-Alabama couldn't be played every year. It was Alabama's in. So Alabama, of course, has to play Auburn every year, and they've got to play Tennessee every year, the third Saturday in October. It was Nick Saban who blew up a few years ago who said, I don't want LSU to be our third team. That's unfair. If we had three stronger teams and other teams are getting Vanderbilt and all of it. So you don't get Alabama. I think a lot of you would have preferred Alabama over Texas A&M or Arkansas. But the Arkansas game's a good rivalry for both fan bases. It's a big game for me for a lot of different reasons. It's my favorite rivalry. It's one of the things that matters most to me personally. And to people in North Louisiana and South Arkansas, it matters a lot. Actually, it matters to everyone in the state of Arkansas. But, you know, it's a golden boot. You know, it's never going to be a top-tier rivalry unless Arkansas gets something going. There was a tweet yesterday from a guy that I know. His name is Drew. Okay, I've talked to Drew. I've emailed with Drew back and forth. I have respect for Drew, and I'm going to wait and have him on because we're not worried about Texas A&M. But A&M fans, some A&M fans legitimately think this.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
That we desperately want them to be our rival. We need them so badly. The air that we breathe isn't as important as what we do versus Texas A&M. And that couldn't be further from the truth. I don't understand why A&M fans are still talking. Whoop-de-doo, you beat Notre Dame, who might get beat by Arkansas this weekend. So I'm fine with playing Texas A&M every year. I was fine with that. Ole Miss will be our annual rival that we hate the most. This week solidified it. And, you know, college football, I understand it should be a sport about love and community, but there's got to be a school that you hate. That school was Florida. I can't have that school be the school that I hate because we don't play them every year. I need somewhere in my heart a piece of hatred. And it's for you, Ole Miss. It's for you, Oxford. I was just in Oxford a few weeks ago for a buddy's wedding. It was absolutely phenomenal. I stayed at the Graduate. I'm a big Manning guy. They had Cooper Manning and Eli Manning stuff all over the place. Love the Graduate Hotel. I like Oxford. Oxford got some good food, all of that. But I hate your team. I flat out hate your team. Holy moly. Your team is a bunch of LSU and Arkansas transfer rejects that can't stay healthy. I cannot wait to beat Ole Miss this weekend. Holy crap. It has taken the place of Florida in my heart of hate. We all hate something. You hate, if you're watching this right now, you probably hate it when people drive too slow in the left lane. There's things in life you have to hate. It's not all lovey-dovey. Not everybody can be Barney, okay, or a Teletubby or whatever, SpongeBob. There's got to be things you hate. Jay Kyle, they're calling me. Like I said, I can't say it. I'll get demonetized. I'll lose sponsors. They sponsors don't mind if I curse. It's just you can't. You don't get into the epitaphs. That's where things can go awry. The burners, dude. The Florida burners have been bad. Not to me, but just in general. Some of the stuff I've seen with DJ Lagway on the Twitter sphere. Woo. But yes, I do think the relationship angle is fun. It's a fun. Now, I don't know what time this is going to drop, but the thing about the permanent three games, that's important. That is more important than what I'm about to say, but it's not as important as when you had a seven permanent team schedule and then your eighth conference game was a one out of six rotation, which is crazy to think about. Now, who those other six teams to go along with your three teams, that matters a whole hell of a lot. So we're supposed to figure that out tonight. I don't know what time they're going to release that. You know, it's a big week for Ole Miss fans because I am a somewhat Jackson Dart believer. I've done a few Jackson Dart film studies for the SEC. Let me see. I'm trying to see when they're going to release these schedules. I couldn't because they tweeted something out yesterday. It said tomorrow night at 6 on the SEC network. Maybe they released it and I don't know. I thought I would have seen it by now. Interesting. It's on the SEC network right now. So I'll pull it up right here. Sorry for our podcast listeners. But anyway. Natal says, you should not hate, my friend. No, you got to have some hate. There's some things you hate. I am mostly love. I'm 99% love, but everybody's got 1% hatred. Everybody. Okay. I don't know why I keep clicking it. It's giving me WNBA playoffs. I can't, it's not letting me click it. It's giving me WNBA playoffs. I'm about to go to break here in a second to try and figure this out. Let's go to Tari Super Chat. Joseon will make this game closer than it needs to be. Yeah, so the three opponents are leaked, but my understanding, okay, so here we go. LSU will have home, all right, it just dropped. Get this from LSU Sports. All right, you guys are reacting to this while I am live, okay? This is literally the first time I've seen it. And Tari, we're going to get to your super chat here in just a second, okay? You guys know there's nothing more in life that matters more to me than schedule formats and sports. Okay. So this is the SEC lineup for 2026. Now remember, our three permanents are in black. This graphic isn't the best, if we're being honest, but this is from LSU Sports, and I love them. The white schools are the home teams we'll play next year, and then the road teams are the purple schools, okay? So next year, we will play Alabama at home. We'll also play Mississippi State at home, and we'll play Texas at home. And don't forget, we also get Clemson at home. Our permanents will be Texas A&M at home, and then we'll be at Arkansas, at Ole Miss, at Auburn, at Kentucky, and at Tennessee. This is a good break, but as you'll see in 2028, it flips. So we don't know what these teams are going to look like, but in 2028, we'll have to go to Alabama and to Texas in the same season. All right, and who do we play in the non-conference that year. I think that's Texas Tech. No, we play SMU, and that game will be in Baton Rouge. So we do get a P4 game at home. Then in 2027, we'll play Houston and UTSA. So there you go. So let's get back to the 2026 schedule, and then we'll go to 2027. You do get a bit of a break here with 2026. Which Ole Miss quarterback would you prefer to defend? Simmons. Yes, it would be Austin Simmons. And I'll tell you why in just a moment, simply. Breaking news. So, Sibley, your friends from Texas, they're coming to Baton Rouge next year. Party at Sibley's tailgate. I know you're excited about that. I am glad that the SEC did the right thing here and brought Texas to LSU the first year that they could, because we were robbed of the Texas game back in 2020. So this is 6 years in the making. I will definitely be there. 2027 at Texas A&M, Arkansas, Ole Miss, and then you get Missouri, Vanderbilt, and Oklahoma at home. And then you'll be at Florida, at Georgia, at South Carolina. That's brutal. That is an absolutely positively brutal schedule. So 2027, if I know what I know about LSU, I am definitely pushing my chips in the middle for 2026, because 2027, that's going to be tough. Now, once again, in the non-conference, you don't have to play Clemson. You will play Texas Tech in the non-conference, or excuse me, Houston in the non-conference in 2027. All right, so type Y for yes, type N for no if you can hear me live.
Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
And clear. And if you could see these schedules loud and clear. So now we go to 2028. Texas A&M at Arkansas, at Ole Miss as your permanents. Auburn at home, Kentucky at home, Tennessee at home, at Alabama, at Mississippi State, at Texas. Like we mentioned, brutal. Absolutely brutal. So basically, the way I look at this, 2028 and 2027 are going to be really tough. Then you get to 2029, you'll be at Texas A&M, Arkansas, Ole Miss, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, at Missouri, at Oklahoma, at Vanderbilt. That's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. LSU, Georgia, obviously the last time Georgia's come to Tiger Stadium was in 2018. Okay, so you want to know why? I am a big, big believer in a 9-game conference schedule. No longer do you have to wait 11 years for Georgia to come back to Baton Rouge. So every 4 years, that school has to play at your house. This makes the schedules more equitable. Now, once again, a downside is you're not going to have as sexy a non-conference matchups. I still think you'll have some. You'll still have big ones. These are not in order. And thank you, Sourdough Man. These are not in order. No. We won't know the schedule order until everything gets sorted out with non-cons and all that stuff. Okay. But yeah, they're not in order. God, this is going to be awesome. Biscuit, what's good? I've actually met Biscuit before. He always comes in here and he just comments the word biscuit. All right, so let's go back to Tari Super Chat really quickly. Sloan needs to let everything out the book here. Now, one thing I will say, something that both Lane Kiffin and Joe Sloan have done well over the past couple of weeks is throw to the tight end on crossers. It won Ole Miss the Arkansas game. It sealed the Tulane game. And we don't blow Florida. We don't have our big play versus Florida without it. And then, of course, Bauer scored a touchdown on something that Tennessee runs all the time. So, Bauer Sharp versus Ole Miss's tight end number 8, whose name slips my mind. He has dreads. He's thick. He is my type of player. I love him. He's probably my favorite player on Ole Miss. Thick, single-digit tight end. That boy can flat-out run. I think his name's Harris or something. He gave us some issues last year. Silly, going back to your question, Trinidad Chambliss is good. He is a good college quarterback. Part of why I would prefer to play Austin Simmons is, number one, he's not been as good as Trinidad Chambliss. In the first game, Austin Simmons' interceptions have been bad, thrown right to defenders, Lagway-ish level bad. And the difference between him and DJ Lagway is Lane has been able to scheme around some of Simmons' shortcomings. Chambliss is better with the football. Chambliss is a little bit more fearless. I do think as a runner, he's got a little bit more juice. Simmons can run as well. He's also healthier of the two. So, yes, I would prefer them play Austin Simmons, who I do think is prodigiously talented in his own right. But Lane's system is so good. It is still a top five system in the sport that it really doesn't matter. They're both going to run the offense, and they're going to score. The difference is they've not played a defense like ours yet. And the inverse is also true. They have not played an offense. We've not played an offense as good as Ole Miss is yet. Now, I will say we have probably played more talented players up to this point in the schedule than Ole Miss has played. But there's a reason Ole Miss is favored. It's because their offense has done something. You know, if you were to go position by position, both offensive lines have massive weak points. Massive. Their running back room has been better than ours. Their receiver room has been really good, surprisingly really good. Tight end room, as we just mentioned, has been good. But defensively, we clear them so easily in all three phases. So, yes, I would much rather play the Fighting Trinidad Shamblesses. But yes, Austin Simmons picks, sometimes picks are unlucky. They have been thrown straight to people. It's been bad. It's been really bad. And he's not seen a defensive coordinator like Blake Baker just yet. But I cannot stress this enough. Tomorrow's film study is a top five PHL film study. It'll drop at 8 a.m. in the morning. It's already done. And patrons, you get extra film study. It's already up, by the way. Patreon.com/LSU football. It's amazing how many plays just get passed around. It all comes down to how you teach it how good the defense is, how good your players are, and honestly, how you sequence it. Lane is one of the best play calling sequencers ever I have ever seen at any level. A good example of this, and this is what I would tell my defenders if I were LSU, is to just do your job. Do your job. Go out there, make plays. If they're there, don't go out of the way and do something that was not your job. Do your job. Now, you take a look at that Kentucky game. In the third quarter of that game, Ole Miss was running counter runs with Lacy. Counter. Then it got to the fourth quarter, and they started running some variations where two pullers would run to one side, and they would actually be running to the opposite of where all their blockers were going. We never do this for whatever reason. I don't know why we don't do this. I don't know why every team doesn't do this. Oklahoma did it last year to beat Alabama. Tennessee's done it also last year to beat Alabama. Ole Miss did it earlier this year to beat Kentucky. You have got to be able to be ready for these nasty sequences of plays. Another thing about Ole Miss, they love head fakes. Okay? Think of your favorite all-time NBA mid-range shooter and all the head fakes he would do. James Harden, whoever you want to think of. There's not an offense you will see with more QB head fakes than Ole Miss. They do it so much. Got to be ready for it. Their best offensive players. It's hard to remember names. I'll give you numbers. 11, 5, and 2. 2 and 11 are the receivers. 5, Lacy is good. He is a really good running back. He's not the best we'll play this year, but he's really good. So that's what you need to know. Now, where are their weaknesses? I'm just going to tell you right now. This is going to be my PHL call right here. The PFF grades have kind of stagnated on this player, but he's a guy who was the consensus best player during LSU fall camp. And he himself has also had a good year. Kind of gone quiet. And his name is Bernard Gooden. This is a great matchup for Bernard Gooden. Great. Ole Miss's offensive guard and center play is bad. They're not good there. You can eat up the middle. Okay? You can freaking eat up the middle. So, Bernard Gooden, this could be a massive game for him. It really can be. All right? The way that their guards have been beaten is the same exact style of player number 88 is for LSU. And that's not me spilling secrets. The way Gooden plays, it's either you as a guard have the nuts to stop him. If you don't, then it's over. Anthony on Facebook, please share it on the Facebook pages. Lacy's built like McFadden. No, he's not that good. But is he built like a McFadden? Always had the weirdest upright, stiff build. Nurse Court, a PHL legend, one of the all-time biggest supporters of PHL. Good to see you, buddy. She might be going to Oxford. I would say come pick me up, but no, not going back. Not after this week. So let's talk about Lane Kiffin taking the over. So this was an interesting stat. And I shared this on the Twitter sphere. Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss lead the SEC in under percentage since he's been at Ole Miss in 2020. Now, that doesn't mean his offenses aren't great. It's just they have been in a surprisingly lower scoring type of environment for an offense that is as good as theirs. So that could mean two things. What can happen in an Ole Miss game is that they blow you out so badly that you really can't do anything, and it becomes like 27-10. Or let's take South Carolina last year, a really good team. They just took it to them so early, it was 27-3. There's a lot of games that they play like that. Then they've also hit a few unders because they'll play Kentucky and they'll turn that game into a slugfest. And it'd be 17-10, and they slow the pace down. So it's hard because if you're a bookmaker, you're obviously accounting for the speed in which Kentucky plays. When you go up against some of these teams that know how to slow it down and keep time of possession, you have a lower scoring game. That's what happened to us. You know, we weren't able to run the ball, but we kept extending so many drives on third and long that that's why the under hit. It is rare for an under to hit between two first-round quarterbacks when there's also overtime, but the under still hit. Deshaun Womack does start for them. He's had a decent season. He had a big play in the Ole Miss game last year. Big play. LSU better attack Sage Ryan and confuse the inexperienced quarterback on defense. So a lot of Sage Ryan hate. Who would have thunk that there would be Sage Ryan hate on this channel? Not on Power Hour LSU. I'll share a Sage Ryan story. There was an instance where last year when Sage Ryan entered the transfer portal, every single LSU fan that has two eyes and a pulse rejoiced. We celebrated. We danced. And then he had some random tweet that said, "It ain't no fun when the rabbit got its gun," or whatever it was. And I was like, please leave this team forever. And what do? We reel them back in. And you saw what happened. Now, I destroyed LSU for that. Destroyed. Went way overboard saying how bad this was. And it pissed a lot of people off that I respect and I love that's trying to help this team win. And guess what? We were both right. Because when we actually saw LSU's backup defensive backs get their chance, they also couldn't get the job done. So I understood why they decided to run it back. I totally get it now. But I still would have just let him go. I would have rathered Deshaun Spears struggle for the entire season than have to go through it again. Now he's with Ole Miss, and you know, I hope he gets burned. I still go back to my opening rant where it is so stupidly pathetic that no one in Ole Miss's godforsaken athletic department decided to say, hey, maybe it's not a good idea to tweet out a highlight reel when actually someone on our own team is getting burned. But that's what Ole Miss decided to do. Imagine if you're Sage Ryan and you're like, oh, well, shit, thanks, guys. Yeah, man, it's an interactive show. I tried. You know what's funny? I put together a list of topics, and I could talk for 5 hours about LSU football or SEC football or college football. But, you know, this chat is about you guys, okay? Let's go to Tari. Carter, how much longer before DJ Pickett becomes our primary boundary corner? It's a really good question. It's a really good question, okay? We talked about it with Blake this week, and I'll be on AYS a little bit later tonight. So let's talk about DJ Pickett. In order to get on the field, you have to be transcendently good which DJ Pickett very well could be. But the guy in front of you also needs to not be playing elite. Okay, a good example of this is this guy right here. Okay. Joe Burrow sat behind Dwayne Haskins. That's crazy in retrospect. Crazy. But Dwayne Haskins is one of the best college quarterbacks of this era. He's not top 20, but he's definitely in the top 50. He was really good. I've seen Dwayne Haskins in person. Interviewed him at the Rose Bowl. You've got to be transcendently good to jump someone. But in order for you to jump that person, who you're coming in for needs to be struggling. Y'all, PJ Woodland is playing really good. Number 11 for LSU is good. He went through growing pains last season. He's good. Now, does DJ Pickett have a higher ceiling? Yes, he might have the highest ceiling of any football player that's on this team at any position. He is a 6'5 corner who runs 4'4. 6'5. There's already NFL draft guys out there saying, I don't know if we've ever had a 6'5 corner. Who's to say he's not going to grow to 6'6? He's an absolute freak. I've interviewed DJ Pickett. It never aired because we weren't recording. We interviewed Bryce Underwood. It was a flurry at the spring game a few years ago. But then I saw DJ Pickett at a women's basketball game last year. You stand next to that guy, he's like, this dude is not – how's this guy like the same species as me? Like, he's that crazy. But let's not rush. P.J. Woodland's playing really well. So P.J. Woodland and Mansoor Delane should be LSU's outside corners until proven otherwise. Now, of course, there's more to it. For me, I do a lot of Tennessee film studies, a lot. And they don't have their number one corner right now, Jermon McCoy, who is the best corner in the SEC, not named Mansoor Delane. Okay. When McCoy gets healthy, he's got a legitimate claim to being the best corner in America. But Delane has been the best corner in college football. So Tennessee has not had McCoy, and their cornerback depth is why they lost the Georgia game. So I understand we want Pickett to be on the field, right? We paid him a lot. He chose us. He's obviously good enough to be an SEC starting corner. At least I think so. But it's actually a good thing he's not playing. It's a really good thing. You're like, wow. It's kind of, to use a good example of a great unit preventing a player starting as a true freshman, let's go to Lyle Collins, who was a true freshman in 2011. He was a five-star recruit, top 10 national five-star like DJ Pickett. He didn't play a lot. He didn't play a lot his first year. That was a good problem to have because we had Will Blackwell and all those guys. And some dude who's on Fox Sports 1 in the mornings. Don't know his name. He was on that offensive line. Ashley, thank you for the repost. I appreciate our conversation recently. I'm happy for you. Let's go to Alexander. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who that next corner would be, but I'm glad we're to the point where, you know, Ashton Stamps, who he battled in this game last year. I'll give him that. That wasn't one of Stamps' worst games. But there you go. Okay. I think that we have not won in Oxford since the Joe Burrow game. That's right. So 2019, That was a great Burrow game, as were all of them. Then 2021, we were up, I think, 10-0 early, and then we lost, got blown out. And 2023 was the game, right? God, Jaden was so good in that game. It was so good. There's just not many quarterbacks you will ever see play at that level again. You might not ever see it, if we're being honest. That's how good he was in that game. We've not seen it since at the quarterback position, if we're being honest. Tre'Davious Green is indeed back. Yes, Brian Kelly confirmed it. Once again, tomorrow night, big guest. When I tell you big guest, okay? You're going to love him. All right? Now, next thing. I want to have a conversation about the rest of the season. So, you know, one thing that was so big, and I do think it played a massive factor, was Ole Miss should have won this game last year. They also did not have a bye week before we played them. Okay. And then Ole Miss got us after a bye week. So they were playing, I think it was our sixth game in 6 weeks, and we had a bye week before. It was big. But man, dude, their defense is so different. You think our defense is transformed? Holy crap, dude. It's insane. Mike Gundy gets fired today. Big deal. Big deal. Gundy, of course, stepped in for Miles, who went to LSU. Mike Gundy is one of the best college football coaches of all time. And I said what I said. How do I feel about Juwan Johnson and his game? So it's gotten to the point where fans are starting to say that, and not just fans, pundits, that Juwan Johnson's better than Caden Durham. Come on. Let's be adults here. Now, has Juwan Johnson been really good for LSU? Yes. Is he probably the more consistent running back? Yes. Is he the healthier running back? Yes. Is he the highest floor running back in terms of versatility? Yeah. Probably so. Pass catching. He's going to hit the hole. He's going to get yards. And he probably has the highest football IQ because he knows all these different positions. If we needed him to play DB, he'd play DB. If we needed him to play quarterback, he'd play quarterback. I do think there are some direct snap scenarios where I could see Juwan running the Wildcat. It's not what I want to do, though. I've been very vocal about that. But Juwan, as the RB1, I still think this is Caden's show. But I could see a world where LSU's like, look, we're going into a bye. We can get a 2 weeks of rest situation here with Caden and see and let him watch a good bit from the sidelines. So I'm fine with that. I am. But yeah, so far Juwan Johnson's been good. He's been really good. But has he been fantastic? I would probably say no. There's not been like some ridiculous explosive Juwan Johnson play. We've had a few with Caden. Obviously the very first play of the year kind of set the tone for that Clemson game from Caden. But Juwan has solidified himself as the RB2. He has. And there is a piece of me that thinks if Caden is hurt, maybe we do give Caleb Jackson a little bit more run. Maybe we do. But Dreamless Nation, to your point, as far as Juwan is concerned, the run game design is so rancid right now, from the play calling to the actual offensive line and blocking to the lack of, you know, the QB pull and run game, that I don't know if any running back would be able to survive in this environment. It's brutal. It's really, really, really tough. All right. You know, we're going up against Logan Diggs, who was really good for us in 2023. He's Ole Miss's solid RB2. We're going to be going up against him. Kwon Lacy is their RB1. But they have waited a full year for Logan Diggs to get healthy. He's a big part to their operation. Womack's done okay. Let's see. I don't want to miss any comments here. Always good to have Samuel in the chat. That's my guy, man. Sardo, you see his little insignia. He gets membership benefits. If you get that cool little logo next to your name, I go to your comments quicker. I see the Auburn series and we'll miss the Gators. Could care less about Alabama. Let's go to Samuel. From earlier, does this defense have the same issues with the running quarterback that they've had in the past, or are we different now? So Klubnik had a few runs versus us, but not anything crazy. Lagway's not a runner for whatever reason, where in high school, running was a big part of what he was as a QB. But yes, Chambliss can scoot. I will say, though, he's not deadly with his legs like Talon Green or Lenore Sellers or Marcel Reed or John Mateer, who is hurt, by the way. He'll miss the next month. So that changes some things for me. I released my power rankings yesterday, and I think with John Mateer being hurt, I would move LSU up to number 3 here, and I would put Oklahoma. Now, man, I'd move them all the way down to like 10, honestly. But I was contemplating moving LSU lower on this power rankings because, yeah, defensively they're elite. They're as good as it gets defensively, but now. This offense has got to do better. It's got to do better. And here's the thing that I struggle with. And ask any PHLer this. I don't mind if you suck. There's a lot of us that probably aren't good at our jobs. We show up, we're probably not as efficient as Cindy in the next block over or whatever. But you keep your job. Because you're reliable, right? Like you show up. We know what we're getting out of you. You're working your ass off. Okay. So I look at the LSU offensive line kind of in that same lens. We knew going into the season that the LSU offensive line was going to have issues. Now, should it be this bad? No. And that's where the mental issues really come to roost. You know, I would start really, because not a single one of our offensive linemen that we brought in looks ready. Not a single one. Outside of maybe Tyree Adams. I would start looking deep into everything. The techniques you're using, the knee braces, your equipment, your diets, how you're relaying the information. all hands on deck at this point. Are there any defensive linemen that could move over and do something? So I don't know. I don't know. I think Sourdough Man also was high on Oklahoma like me. They're saying he might not be back for Texas, which would be obviously pretty big. We get a Desmond. This is interesting. Super chat from Nurse Court. I appreciate you as always. It's my buddy. And then Desmond coming in with the cash app. Thank you. He says, are we wasting Alex Atkins' knowledge? I don't know, because I've seen some fans say, well, why do we bring in a guy with so much offensive line experience and the tight ends are, you know, why can't we have him come over and help the offensive line? That's not his job. He's got to coach the tight ends. And he's in the booth while Davis is boots on the ground. Maybe we could flip it and see if Brad's better in the booth, but offensive line coaches are normally in the trenches, and that would be bizarre. So, you know, to Alex, Desmond, it's such a good point from your Cash App, because I do think if Alex Atkins was the offensive line coordinator, our counter runs would be better. We tried to run counter, and it's been a disaster. But then again, everything's been a disaster. So at this point, if I'm LSU, I surprise Ole Miss, and I'm running a lot of duo, which is different. You know, duo is you're really emphasizing those double teams, and the running back reads where the backer is, and you don't go where he is. Maybe you try some duo runs. But as much as I love doing film study stuff, there is a limitation to that, right? I don't know the play calls. I don't know the injury situations. I don't know what's actually being taught or repped or whatever. But, you know, so how much better will we be? And Nurse Court, if you have another question, I got to your super chat late, feel free to fire it in. Do I think there's a world where Alex Atkins as our offensive line coach would have us in a better spot? Well, that's going to be a question Brian Kelly is going to need to answer. I think Brad Davis survives, though, because he's recruiting so well. And I know that's not what a lot of you want to hear. But I would also say if you were to go get a different OC, that OC is probably going to want to bring in his own line coach. Now, let's go back to the cubicle reference. Let's use McDonald's as a reference here. If I were to go to McDonald's and I had, you know, I just ordered quarter pounder with cheese and fries. I'm not a big McDonald's fan, but let's just say the cheeseburger was really good. Okay, I think most of us would say, yeah, it's edible, it's good. But what if the fries weren't good? McDonald's fries, that's their brand. What if they're a little cold, they're soggy, they weren't salted right, they didn't give you ketchup or whatever. What if the fries weren't good? Well, even if the burger was good and your overall experience was fine, it would make you feel some type of way. That's how I feel right now about the LSU wide receivers, okay? That's how I feel. Our brand is wide receiver play. To the point where the NFL won't quit talking about it. Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Malik Nabers, BTJ. who's struggling, but you get the point. That's our brand. So the team is doing fine. We're undefeated. The burger is fine. But if you go to McDonald's and the fries aren't great, it's just like, eh. Why are the LSU wide receivers struggling to catch the football? Why is it? You look at some of the other past years where LSU has had drops issues, it's normally one guy, right? It's normally just one person who has massive drop issues. Everybody's dropping. And they are dropping crazier than when the pimp's in the cribs, Ma. Dropping everything like it's hot. Let's go to Tar. He says, Garrett Nussmeier is cool, but Michael Van Buren would have this offense so much more explosive. Ooh, that's a hot take. I just think that take isn't great because, Garrett played one of the best games a quarterback could play versus Southeastern. And Michael Van Buren also played well. That's why we did a Van Buren film study on Monday. MVB is probably as good, if not better, of a deep ball thrower. And he's definitely got more juice as a runner. There's no denying that. But I don't think he's a better option than Garrett Nussmeier right now. And this is Garrett's team. I don't think you could do something like that. And when there's been some other backup situations like this, LSU has stood fast with who they had at their starter, and it's worked. You know, there's people wanting Garrett over Jaden. There's people wanting Miles Brennan over Joe. There's people that wanted Ryan Perlew over Matt Flynn. Stick with who you have. Okay. There's no one more popular than the backup QB. Now, we'll say as far as this matchup versus Ole Miss, Michael Van Buren actually had a really good game versus Ole Miss. He really did. Here's Ellie Mom. Yeah, it's because also, Tari, you would be going against the evaluations of all these NFL teams that have him as a first-round pick in Garrett Nussmeier. So you'd be going against the locker room, against the identity of this team, against the leader of this team, against the captain, against the number 18, and then against the hundreds of NFL scouts out there who say the contrary. Now, all of those things could be true. You might be right. I'm not saying that it's the worst, especially if you as a defense are preparing to play Garrett Nussmeier and boom, someone who can run comes out there. It does change the math and the run game and all those different things. It's just not something that I would do. And it's not that I'm a Nuss fanboy or any of that. It's just not what I would do. Okay. No, it's not valid, Alexander. That's not valid. And I have closer ties to Ryan than I do Matt. But no, it's not valid. Now, upside, sure. Yeah, sure, upside. I don't think anyone would disagree with you there, but Flynn was really good in 2007. Very underrated. Tari's on fire tonight. He says, I disagree, Carter. Nuss is a statue. So let's go one by one. Nuss isn't a statue anymore. You know, for me, when I hear the words statue, I think of quarterbacks who are easy to sack. Like someone like Matt Ryan was a statue. Like he would take a good bit of sacks and he was easy to sack. I don't think Garrett's a statue. right? He's very, even with bad offensive line play, he's avoided sacks at a pretty high rate throughout his tenure here as a starter. And that's with Weston Davis getting destroyed off the edge almost every time. Obviously I would want him to take off and run more. I'm not going to say that he's a statue. Now, is he mobile? I wouldn't say he's mobile. MVB's arm is just as live. Well, it depends on what you're judging by arm, right? Like, in terms of arm strength, yeah, you might be right about that. Willing to run. Yeah, I would agree with you. Michael Van Buren clears him there, which would open up the offense. And the wide receivers would have better success with Michael Van Buren. I don't know. The problem with this is, was MVB 10 of 12? Yes. Were both incompletions not his fault? Yes. It was the exact opposite. His best throw got negated by some bad pass protection, which would have been a Jelani Watkins walk-in touchdown. MVB was really good. I'm not going to take that away from him. He was really good. I do think we struggle at times to compartmentalize the difference between even Louisiana Tech and Southeastern, if that makes sense, right? Louisiana Tech sucks compared to LSU. But they're a really good, really, really, really good team for the Sun Belt. Colby Fields would play for us. And wouldn't start. Our linebacker room is loaded, but he's good. But then you have Southeastern, who's way worse than Louisiana Tech. FCS level. So there you go. Yeah, Desmond, I appreciate that. Much love to the Ringer. I love the Ringer. Ringer Tailgate. Check out his show. Let's go to Alexander. Caleb Jackson dropped the 3rd-and-2 pass that would have iced the game. What, versus Ole Miss? I don't think it was a 3rd-and-2. So this was when he was a true freshman. It was on a rollout. I think it was an early first down. And he did drop a pass where he was running into the flats. If you're talking about the Ole Miss game, yeah. So yeah, that wasn't the play. If I remember correctly, that was earlier in the fourth quarter. But it was a bad drop. But he's only a true freshman. That's 2023. You know, he's been a really good pass catcher since then. B-Rock, what's good? Southwest Florida in the hizzy. The offensive line is not good. MVP would help the offensive line just as JD did for us in 2023. This is the new SEC. You'll need a dual threat quarterback. Now, do you need a dual threat quarterback? Is it rare to have a quarterback that just does not run at all? Yeah, it's more rare. It's actually this year in the SEC, it is very rare to have even an average runner at the quarterback position. like, is like Chambliss has been the dual threat option even when Simmons was healthy. He's not even a top seven runner at the QB position in the SEC. Like, there's five who I would consider to be elite runners, and then there's a next tier of like Pavia and those guys that are very, very, very good runners. So yeah, it is rare. You could make a case that in this SEC, you should have some more mobility at quarterback. But this is where this falls apart. Garrett, there's not many quarterbacks you will find that helps their offensive line out more than Garrett, even with the lack of mobility. Okay, now there have been some instances where it's impossible for him to get out of a sack. In fact, it's been the opposite with Garrett, where he needs to take more sacks instead of throwing the football. And in fact, that was the case versus Ole Miss with both of his picks last year. But, you know, I would disagree that Garrett doesn't help the offensive line. Now, he would help them if he did scramble more and if there was a QB run game. So I get that. But it's not as if it's just this insurmountable burden that Garrett can't run. I'm telling you, tomorrow's film study at 8 a.m. If you are a fan of the New Orleans Saints, prime Drew Brees, prime Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, if you're a fan of Lane Kiffin's playbook, you're going to want to tune in to the film study. It'll drop tomorrow at 8 p.m. And we'll have a big guest for our live stream tomorrow at 6:30. It's Ole Miss week. I got to go all out. Now, this was brought up a little bit earlier. And, you know, this broke while we're live. Wait, Ashley, the Angel Reese burger was good from McDonald's? Terrace Marshall's with the Eagles, if I'm not mistaken. Someone brought up, I wanted to put their comment up here. We have to go to Ole Miss again next year. So I'll pull it up again. And there's a cleaner copy of the schedule. Okay. Dude, I freaking love schedules, dude. I'm so glad the SEC is finally getting it right. So as you'll see, we'll play at Ole Miss again next year. And we will be at home against Texas A&M again next year. It's really not that big of a deal, okay, because this was going to happen. The SEC did say, hey, with us flipping the schedule around, there's going to be some of this. Let's go to Tari. He says, Garrett sucks. We overrated him. He's a true third, fourth round QB. Well, that's not a put down, Tari. Third, fourth round QB. I don't know if that's a bad thing. Is that a bad thing? That he's a third, fourth round QB? Oh, it was a McJordan. I should have had it. Angel, I'll let you down. I'll let you down, buddy. I'll let you down. We've seen enough from him. I guarantee you we will be here on Saturday how Nuss missed layups. All right, Tari, look, it could happen. I'm not saying Garrett is like as good as our goats, but I would say Garrett's pretty good. I mean, I don't think that's a hot take. But yeah, I don't think we've seen enough. I think some of Garrett's best play is ahead of him. But I also don't think a third or fourth round QB is like a terrible thing. Right? Russell Wilson was a third round QB. Well, considering Alabama's going to beat Georgia on Saturday, then do I think Caleb will redshirt this year and move on? I think he's played in all the games we've played up to this point. Let me see. I was only played in three games. You're right. Clemson, Louisiana Tech, Southeastern. He just played a total of 28 offensive snaps and a total of 225 offensive snaps in his career. For reference, like Bower Sharp has already played 236 snaps this year. That's crazy. It's crazy. It is definitely one of the more perplexing fall-offs, knowing how dominant he was in practice. And I don't know. I really, really, really don't know how to explain it. I don't. But congrats, Star. You were the top super chatter tonight. We appreciate you, man, in a major way. Dreamless and Sibley, along with the great Nurse Court and the great Desmond. Appreciate you guys. Toss dive was made for Caleb Jackson. All right, y'all. That will do it for your boy. Now, in 15 minutes, I'll be on with the great Blake Ruffino on AYS. I will also be on with Preston Guy tonight on TigerBait.com to discuss the new schedule. Tari wants to keep it going, so we'll keep it going. Look at what we are saying. Nuss is elite when everything is perfect. Well, yeah, a lot of quarterbacks are. I wasn't in full agreement of Alexander. I don't think Alexander is saying. Let me better characterize what Alexander was saying. He was saying he would be better off if the offensive line play was manageable. Here's the thing, though, Tari. I do appreciate the super chat. It was crazy. You went Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson, then 0-3 CJ Stroud, then Jordan Love. I can live with that. And then John Mateer. Oh, that's so good. I didn't know John Mateer got put in there. John Mateer has one hand right now. He's not even playing right now. How are the Texans 0-3? That is crazy to me. It's C.J. freaking Stroud and Nico Collins and Will Anderson. NFL's a crazy league, man. God, dude, these Whit Weeks memes are getting out of control. Out of control. Oh, Alexander, is it back? Well, I don't know. Because Justin Fields has also been good this year. When he's been healthy, he's been good. Scott Atari, he keeps it going. If Nuss is not him, does BK have the gonads, the cojones to pull him? I mean, he would have to be atrocious. I don't know if I can get to atrocious with Garrett. I don't think he's been atrocious in any game. I'm not going to say Justin Fields is also awful. He's probably not good. Yeah, that's a good point, Mike. Do you extend Stroud? He's probably played good enough to get the extension, but I don't know. Kenny Boy says the only person playing mind games is Whit Weeks. Like I said, it all comes down to who started this situation. Like, did Whit slide in, or did she slide in? But yeah, it's amazing how many of these relationships are like, you date this athlete from another school or whatever. It's crazy. It's crazy how many teams I know where I see a college football player, they're dating a soccer player from Mississippi State or whatever. Tari's kept it going for 20 minutes. Zion Williamson, man. Zion's going to break my heart. No matter what happens on Saturday, Zion is going to shatter my heart this year. Dude, my soul will leave my body when Zion strains that first hamstring. Please, a full year. I would say, and could look forward to the future, we don't have any first next year for Derek Queen. All right, y'all. We will see you on AYS here in just a moment. It is! Tari keeps it going. Carter is a nice guy, Chad. But he knows as well as that Nuss doesn't have two elite games against great competition. Tari, come on. All right. So Ole Miss was the best defense of college football, and Garrett Nussmeier was fantastic in that game. Did he have two picks? Yes. Were they both his fault? The second more so than the first. But, yeah, they're both ones he could have avoided. But that game was truly, truly, truly spectacular. Now, if you want to get into the definition of an elite game versus an elite opponent, I would include a team that barely missed a college football playoff who Garrett Nussmeier beat on the road in South Carolina. Now, was that last interception bad? And that would that have changed the narrative of that game? Yeah, obviously, it would have been a pick six in the game. It would have been a bad pick. But this was his third of the season, in a game where his offensive line was playing poorly. The run game was somewhat existent, but our defense was not stopping anyone. So, yeah, I mean, I would include South Carolina into a pretty good performance from Garrett Nussmeier. Now, if you want to get into elite performances, obviously Baylor was elite, but that team wasn't that great. So, yeah, if you put it like that, yeah. Once again, it's not a bulletproof profile, but if you want Michael Van Buren so badly, what were the elite performances for Michael Van Buren last year that you want to point to? Now, I'll tell you, there were some very good ones, but I don't know if I could go elite. I really don't know. All right, y'all. I really do appreciate each and every one of you, in particular Tari, who's firing in some supers. Texas was not elite. They were in cruise control that entire game. Now, did he have a nice QB draw tutty there? Yeah. Did he have some really good throws? Yeah. Oh man, that is crazy. Oh man. Yeah, they got a documentary coming out this week too. All right, y'all. We'll see you tomorrow. Once again, big guest tomorrow night. You're going to love him. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Tonight, we are doing... Oh, the wifey got me an air fryer. Let's go. Yeah. Let me see you. John Wall. John Wall. John Wall. Are you calling out my loyalty? Or are you saying you're loyal to me? Or am I loyal to you? I appreciate my loyalty to Garrett Nussmeier. I'll say it 1,000 times. Are there people close to us that watch the channel? Yes, there are. Was one of them in the chat earlier? Yes, that person was. So if you want to scour through the chat and try and figure out who that is, Tari, I think that's what you're probably going to do now that I'm signing off. Sure. I have never spoken directly to Garrett Nussmeier. I've only been in the same room with them a few times, and that's a stadium full of 100,000 people. So it's not loyalty. I don't really have favorites. I just want whoever's best for the team. I truly do mean it. Now, there are some players that I like more than like the average person. Maybe so. Are there some players I don't particularly care for? Not really. I mean, there's some, but there's really not. Like, it's not. Oh, you live next to Garrett Nussmeier's cousins? Okay. Well, tell him I've been 10 toes down for him. But yes, I do have to sign off. I'm going on Blake's show like literally right now. So we'll see you there. Big thanks once again to our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and FortifiedGulfCoast.com. They are the ones that are making this live stream possible today. And our friends over at Labor Therapy and LaborTherapy.com. Okay? Don't forget Fortified Gulf Coast. Learn how you could fortify your roof today. FortifiedGulfCoast.com. Once again, Fortified Gulf. Actually, it's just FortifiedGulf.com. And our friends at Labor Therapy Center. If you're in the Lafayette region, there are 5 different locations. LaborTherapy.com. Once again, that's LaborTherapy.com. LaborDeTherapy.com. Let's go. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Tonight, we're doing fish out of the air fryer. Let's go.